I pray that God will speak to our hearts as well as we consider these verses. We're going to look at John chapter 12 and verses 12 to 15. John chapter 12 and verses 12 to 15. The title, if I could put a title to the message, it would be this: Living for Him Who Died for Me. Living for Him Who Died for Me. For me. Look in your Bible together, John chapter 12, and we'll stand together to read these beginning verses together. John chapter 12 and verses 12 down through verse number 15. I'll read it aloud and you can read it silently there in your heart. John 12, 12 to 15. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass or donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd use these next few moments, use your word to speak to our heart, to encourage us and to challenge us, Lord, that we would live for him who died for us. That we would live for him, live for the one who died for us. Speak to us, I pray. Help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit as he tries to speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Here in this chapter that we read, people were gathered in Jerusalem and they were preparing for the Passover feast. John gives to us just a brief description of this scene that took place. People heard that Jesus was coming and they lined the way to prepare for his coming. If you'll turn back with me to Mark chapter 11 quickly, I want you to notice something else the Bible says about this time. And we're going to come back to John 12 in a moment. But in Mark chapter 11, turn there quickly with me. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Let's read it just so you see what's happening here. Mark 11, 1 to 11, it says, When they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith, talking about Jesus, Jesus saith unto them, his two disciples, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him to me. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. He's going to let you go. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. In other words, where two streets met and so on. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, What do ye? Why are you taking my colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. Remember? Say, My Lord hath need of him. It says, and they let them go. Verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them. In other words, they laid them in the way. They laid them down on the ground. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 11, And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide, the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12, with the disciples. Jesus enters into Jerusalem here and he's welcomed by people who wanted the throne of David to be established. They wanted the throne of David to be reestablished. They wanted a king. They didn't like this Roman oppression and rule. They wanted a king, a conquering king. Here in John chapter 12, Jesus is presented as the King of the Jews. Turn back there with me if you would. John chapter 12. When the people were come to the feast, they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Again, they took the branches from the palm trees. They laid them down. They cried, Hosanna! Blessed is what? The King of Israel. Before it mentioned, you know, the one that's coming from our father David and so on. Here it uses the term, the King of Israel. They were wanting a king that would come in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, and as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. And being presented as their king. In Zechariah 9 and verse 9 it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And when Jesus comes now and he's coming into Jerusalem, riding on that colt of a donkey, of an ass and so on, it's fulfillment of prophecy, just like the Old Testament said. The king did come, and he was just, and he was perfect, and he was holy, and he still is, by the way. He was lowly. He was humble. Jesus came out that time, though, honestly, he didn't come to rule and to reign. He didn't come, you know, ascending Jerusalem. He didn't come to sit down on a throne at that time. He came, as Zechariah prophesied, to do what? To bring salvation. To bring salvation. He came to humbly die on the cross and to pay for the sins of the world. Jesus did not come to overthrow the Romans and to save the Jews from Roman rule and oppression. Jesus came to bring God's free gift of salvation. He came to save the people from their sins. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The king came to earth the first time to die. And he came to die, honestly, for both Jew and for Gentiles. He came to die so that we could have salvation. Jesus came not to wear a crown, not to wear a royal crown, really, but he did come to wear a crown of thorns, didn't he? He came not to, you know, be given a crown and be given a royal robe and sit on a throne. No, he came to die on a cross, to bear a cross, and then to die on it. I want you to notice something else in John chapter 12. The crowd of people that had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, they were here in Jerusalem. The crowd of people that had seen a miracle, they were here. They could bear record about what they had seen Jesus do. There were crowds here that probably would have been willing to push him forward and make him king. I mean, a guy that can do that, he must be from God. He must be our king. There were some that would have liked to push him forward and make him a king. Look at what it says in John chapter 12, verse 17 to 19. "The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record." They bear record of it. They spoke about it. "And for this cause, the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.'" No, the Pharisees that all this time had been worried about, you know, "We don't want Jesus to overthrow us. We don't like Jesus getting all the crowd's attention." They're concerned. Look, the world's going after him now. The world's set to make him their king. Everybody else wants to make him king. Who's going to follow us? There were some that were ready to make him king. Perhaps Jesus could have had the crown without first going to the cross. Maybe he could have had the throne instead of the tomb. But that was not why Jesus came. That was not why Jesus came. There would have been people that would have made him king. We know when we got to go to the Holy Land, what a privilege it was. You know, at Masada, where many people ended up dying, there was many people that would have gladly led a revolt against the Romans. Many people that would have been willing to push him and make him king, and Jesus could have just said, "I can be a king right now." But he didn't come to be a king. came to humble Himself and to die on the cross as our Lamb. He came to die. If Christ would have taken the crown instead of the cross, then we would have had no Savior today and no hope. Look at what the Bible says. Keep your Bible open. Look at John chapter 12 and look down at verses 20 to 23. John 12, 20 to 23. It says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much, much fruit. The hour was come. Some Greeks had come to Jerusalem. They likely had heard about the miracles of Jesus. And now Jesus, what does He do? He directs their attention to His coming death. He tries to point them to the cross. In verse 23, He says, The hour is come. The hour has come. What hour was He talking about? Now the time had come that He was going to fulfill the cause and the purpose for which He had come into the world. Remember other times earlier in the Gospel of John where Jesus said, My time is not come. You know, it's not time yet. But now the hour is come. Now the time had come. And remember in John chapter 2 when Jesus told his mother, Mine hour is not yet come. But now it had. Now it had. Now Christ was going to be glorified. Verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. What was He talking about? He wasn't talking about being put up on a throne and glorified in that way. He was talking about going to the cross and dying on the cross and being buried and then rising again and ascending to the Father and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Listen, now He was going to be glorified. Now He was going to truly do what He came to do. Jesus' idea of the cross was far different than what the Romans thought of it. They looked at the cross as an instrument of cruelty and torture and disgrace and shame. But for Jesus, the cross represented a place of glory and victory because there He would die for our sins. Christ would die on the cross. He would hang on that tree. He would pay the penalty of all men's sins so that the world could be saved. So that we could be restored. So we could be redeemed. So we could be brought into a relationship with God. Why was Christ glorified in going to the cross? He was glorified because He was doing the will of the Heavenly Father. He was paying the penalty for our sins so that we could be forgiven and so that we could join Him in heaven one day. Notice what the Bible says over in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 and verses 5 to 11. Philippians 2 verses 5 to 11. It says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know why Christ joyed in doing the will of the Father? Because He joyed in doing the will of the Father, that's why He went to the cross. He was being glorified. He was glorifying the Father also. Christ found great joy in pleasing the Father. He found great joy in dying for our sins so we could be brought into a relationship with God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Some of you maybe know this verse. Listen to what this tells us. You can find it. That's fine as well. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of it and He's the finisher of it. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Why did Christ endure the cross? Why did Christ go to the cross? For the joy of doing the will of the Father. For the joy of that the Father would be glorified. Listen, He glorified the Father in what He did, and the Father also glorified Him. John chapter 12. Going back to John chapter 12 and verse number 23 again, it said this, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The glory of God was seen in Christ dying on that old rugged cross. That's why Jesus could say the time had come, the hour had come for Him to be glorified. Because Jesus was glorified when He died for you and me. He was glorified when He defeated death and hell and He rose up from the grave victorious. Mercy and pardon and forgiveness are found for us at the cross. We find mercy, we find pardon, we find grace, we find forgiveness. Why? Because the Son of God was willing to leave heaven and come down to earth and die on the cross. How could He bear that shame? How could He bear all our iniquities and sins? Because all the while He was keeping the joy before Him of glorifying the Father, doing the Father's will, being able to bring His creation back into a relationship with God. Because Christ died, now many can live. Because Christ died, now many can live. Notice what it said in verse 24. I read it before. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." If you were to take a corn of wheat, a kernel of corn, anything. If you just left it sitting on a table, would it do anything? No. But if it goes into the ground and dies, what happens? From that can come much life, right? You could take one kernel of corn, you could take one grain of wheat, you could take anything, and you plant it in the ground. You take a kernel of corn, for example, you plant it into the ground, it dies. And then from it springs life that can grow a stalk, that can have a number of cobs of corn on it, a number of kernels of corn, right? One dies, but yet many can have, there can be many much life because of it. And that's what Jesus was referring to about His own life. He had to die. He would die just like a corn of wheat, just like a kernel of corn, anything you want to use. If it goes in the ground and dies, from that can come much life. If Christ would not have died on the cross, then we would all be lost for eternity. We would die in our sins. We would pay the penalty for our sins. We would suffer death and hell. We would face eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. We might not like to think about it. We might wish it wasn't true, but it is. We would face our own condemnation. We'd face our own judgment. We'd face our own punishment for sin if not for Jesus Christ being willing to die in our place. And because He died, we can live. Because Christ came and died for us, many can live. Those who will admit their sinful lost condition, those who will realize their need for Jesus Christ can be saved through faith in Him. I want you to notice an incredible verse down in verse 27. Notice this incredible verse, John chapter 12 and verse 27. "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Almost like a no-no in there, if you would. "But for this cause came I unto this hour." Oh, should I say, "Father, save me now from this hour? Prevent it now, Lord. Prevent it now, Father. Keep me from it." No, no, no. Because it's for this cause. Because it's for this reason, Jesus said, that I came into the world. Jesus knew the suffering that was coming. He knew the pain that was coming. But He refused to say, "Father, save me from this hour. Stop it. Don't let me die." Because all along, Jesus knew that He had come to earth to die. He knew it was for this cause. He knew it was for this reason, this purpose, that the Son of God had left heaven, come down to earth, born into this world, was to die for this cause. Came I unto this hour, this time, this place. Now I'm about to go to the cross. Now I'm about to die for the sins of man. There's a suffering connected with the cross that you and I cannot even begin to comprehend. Jesus did not just suffer torture from the hands of cruel men who would slap at His face, who would rip His beard out of His face. He suffered far more than just physical pain. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah 53, if you would. How is my soul troubled, He said. Can you see what it says over here in Isaiah chapter 53? Oh, when our eyes are opened, it's verses that speak so clearly of the Messiah, the Savior. He suffered so much. Isaiah chapter 53. Do we understand that our sins, your sins, my sins, were placed upon Jesus Christ? And there on that cross, He would die and bear our sins. He would bear the sins of the world, not His own. He did no wrong. But He bore our sins on the cross. Isaiah 53, starting in verse number 3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, in other words, the punishment of our peace, was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He didn't speak a word. Remember before Pilate, you know, given a chance to maybe speak up for himself? No. He didn't. Because He was going to the cross for us. Verse 8, He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Remember, he hung on a cross between two thieves. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Although Jesus Christ was holy and perfect and sinless, he became sin for you and me. Do we even get that? That he became sin. He took our sins upon himself. He became sin for us. He took our sins upon himself on the cross of Calvary. Can you imagine it? That a holy God became sin for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ was making the supreme sacrifice, becoming sin for us. He who was clean, he who was pure, He bore all our uncleanliness. He bore all our unrighteousness. He bore all of our sins. He wore all the filth and all the wickedness of humanity. Every wicked, sinful deed that's ever been committed by man, He bore it for us. He wore it for us. Deity took our sin upon Himself and died on the cross for us. He would end up crying out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did He cry that? I believe it was because the Father in heaven turned His head away and could not even bear to look at His Son with all of our sins upon Him. Imagine the intense anguish and suffering of that. I mean, the Holy Son of God, the Son of the Heavenly Father, knowing that His Father could not even look at Him because of the sin upon Him. It's no wonder that Jesus' soul was troubled and tormented, because Jesus knew what was coming. But I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He went through with it anyways. He went through with it anyways. In John chapter 18 and verse 37, when Jesus was even closer to dying on the cross, He said this, "For this cause am I born, and for this cause came I into the world." Jesus came into the world to seek and to save the lost. He came to die so that we could have eternal life. He came to die for sinners. He came down to where we were so that we could go to where He was. He left heaven and came to earth so that we could leave earth and go to heaven. Where Jesus went to after His resurrection and ascension, you know, that's where He wants us to be also. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 12 and verse 25 and 26. It says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." One preacher said this, "You can often tell where a person is going by how he is living." You can often tell where a person is going by how he is living. Will you think about that? You can often tell where a person is going by how he is living. What are you living for? Are you living for this world or the next? Are you living for self or are you living for the Lord? Are you living for the things of earth? Or are you living for the eternal? Are you serving self or are you serving Jesus? Are you living for self or are you following Jesus? Know that how we live is a good indicator of whether we have truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and are following Him. I hope and pray that you are trusting Jesus, and that you are following Him, and that you are living the life that Christ wants you to live. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Can I ask you this morning as we finish? Is your faith in the Son of God? Have you put your faith in the Son of God? Do you realize that the Son of God died on the cross for your sins, for my sins? He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. And all that you need to do is put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Believe on Him. Trust in Him as your only Savior, as your only hope to get to heaven. He is the only one that can forgive your sins. There's not a man that can do that. Only the perfect man, the Son of God, who was sinless and who died for you, only He has power to save you. Is your faith in the Son of God this morning? If not, I encourage you to place your faith in Him. If you have questions and you're not sure, let me share with you how you can know that for sure. And I ask you this as well. If you have been saved, if you know that you're saved, are you living a crucified life? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Are you living a crucified life? Are you living your life for Christ? When you consider what He's done for you, when you consider that He died for you, are you living the crucified life? Are you living for Him? Are you living for the One who was willing to suffer and die for your sins? Are you truly living for Him? I love that statement that the preacher said. You can often tell where a person is going by how he is living. You know, some people, this is all they got to live for. All they got to live for is the 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, however long you think you're going to live on this earth. That's all you've got to live for. So whoop it up, have a good time. But I'm not living for that. Because I've put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I know I have eternal life. And so I'm not just living for this life, I'm living for the next. I'm living for eternity. I'm living for heaven. I'm living to lay up treasures there. I'm living for the rewards in heaven. I want to live for my Savior. I want to live for Jesus Christ. Because He died for me. He died for you, Abigail. He died for you, Maricar. He died for you, Tricia. Barry, He died for you. Michael, He died for you. Will you live for Him? Will you live for the One who died for you? Will you put your faith in the One who died for you? You're going to say, no, I reject it. I don't believe that. I got my own way. One day you'd greatly regret that decision. I hope you're putting your faith in the One who died for you. Or you will put your faith in the One who died for you. And I hope you'll say, I want to live a crucified life. I want to live my life for Him. I don't want to just live for now. I want to live for eternity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, convict our hearts, Lord. May we have a heart full of gratitude and praise. For the Son of God who loved us enough that He was willing to die on the cross for our sins. Help us to love You and praise You and thank You every day for what You've done. Help us not to take it for granted. Father, if we go a day and not think about You and not thank You, help us, Lord. Good night, help us. If we can just sit in church and sing some songs, but yet feel nothing in our heart, oh God, help us. Help us either to get saved or have the joy of our salvation restored. That we would have a heart of thanks and a heart full of praise. The Son of God who loved us and died for us. Father, help us to live for You. Help us to live for Jesus Christ. Help us to live for eternity. Help us not just to live unto ourselves, but to live for the One who died for us.